Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The legend, Bob Sturm, the busiest man in show business in Dallas. He does the number one sports show in Dallas. He does The Stars. He's writing for The Athletic. I mean, he barely even, he's like one of these NFL coaches sleeping in his office. He may not even go home at night. He's so busy. He's probably out in California right now at the Cowboys camp in Oxnard. What's going on, Bob?
Scotty, it's been too long. How are you, sir?
My man, you are just taking over the world down there.
Just trying to stay employed, my friend.
We like watching you do the Stars games. I'll watch their games in here, right? And I see you always on there doing the show after the game. And
yes, sir.
How much do you like doing that?
No, I love it. It's a real breakthrough for bald guys who never played the game to work our way to the television. So it's trying to figure out. Where this whole thing is going and trying to stay in the middle of it. And, I love hockey and football. And, thankfully, we're almost at the start of football, so we can stop watching 400 baseball down here in Texas and get on with the next thing, right?
So Bob Sturm with us, the great host of Bad Radio and the great ticket in Dallas, one of the best stations in the country. Your owner, I mean, I got to tell you, like, he's kind of creeping me out, dude. Like, seriously, like, I'm just like, that whole look he's rocking with the mirrored glasses and his, like, you know, yellow teeth and everything, I can barely take it. Like, do people, like, because I know you have to respect him, I get that, but are people, like, starting to get squeamish about him these days when he talks?
Well, I mean, I don't know, it's a weird thing with Jerry, honestly, because obviously there's no owner that's even close to his level of fame. In many of our, I'm 46 and Jerry was running the Cowboys when I was still in high school. He bought the Cowboys, which is crazy to me. And so everything I know about the National Football League, at least since like 10th or 11th grade, has had Jerry Jones as a central figure.
Right.
And of course, as he's gotten older, he has morphed into that L. Davis, which is a famous dude who probably lost his fastball a long time ago and now just wants to be surrounded by people that don't give him any trouble. And that's why Jason Garrett has never come close to losing his job here. And that's probably why, in the 21 training camps that I've followed this team, Scotty, they've only ended in the playoffs 8 times. They've only, grabbed a playoff win. I mean, in 20 seasons of following this team, I've seen 2 playoff wins. They were both wild card round. They've never, won a divisional round. They've never been to an NFC championship game. And I got here in 1998. So, you start to look at, would any other general manager, have this sort of job security? And of course the answer is only if he also owns the team. So, it is what it is. People accept it. They don't have to like it. But, we talked about this a little bit today. The object of football, of course, is to win the game and ultimately to win the trophy. But I swear with Jerry Jones, I think it's growing the brand. I think when those Forbes list comes out and the Cowboys are the number one valued franchise in the entire world in all of sports, more than Real Madrid, more than Barcelona, more than Manchester United, more than the Yankees, more than everybody. And I think he considers that his Lombardi trophy. And he's a businessman, so I guess that's how they think. But football fans don't care about the value of your franchise. What does that mean to them? They want to watch. They want to see wins. They want to see trophies someday.
That's a great point. I think that, but he's got the trophies, and so once you get the trophies, then you want the money. And he's all about money, and he's seen his money grow exponentially. I mean, the guy is absolutely cashed in like no other. We've been arguing on this show that the Raiders, when they go to Vegas, it's going to take off for them fiscally, and the Rams and Chargers with their new scene out in L.A. I believe that they might actually catch the Cowboys at some point with all those new, brilliant stadiums they're building. I think Vegas will be the hot spot of the NFL at some point. Now, let me ask you about I do want to ask you, though, about Dez. I know he's gone and everything. How did you think that played out? And, where do you think he'll end up? And why do you think they finally got done with him?
It's a complicated issue, of course, because there's no question Dez Bryant is still an NFL wide receiver. The fact that he's been unemployed 103 or 104 days now is crazy to everyone. Perhaps he is finding the reality of the market, and perhaps his price is up here, and the teams aren't willing to pay that right now for a guy who they fear might be a loud voice in the huddle and may not be the player he once was. They got rid of him, and it was weird to me because I expected a haircut. I expected them to try to redo his deal to offer some sort of compromise. I never imagined they would just cut him. And then, and I'm sure you took a look at the All or Nothing series that was out on the Cowboys, a ridiculously chaotic season of last year. And you saw a lot of times where, there was considerable baggage with Dez Bryant. And he's not a horrible guy. He's just a guy who comes unhinged. And on the NFL field, you better be really, really good to cause a commotion on the sideline or in the huddle or with a young quarterback or whatever. And I guess they just were tired of hearing it, so much so that I don't even think they renegotiated with him. And so in the end, the fact that they took until April 13th to cut him loose, it almost looks vindictive. Now, I know it wasn't. I know they probably took so long because they were trying to get Jerry to come around on the idea. The coaches, the front office, Steven, his son, Will McClay. I think they had to talk Jerry into it. But by waiting till April 13th, now every team that needed a wide receiver pretty much had one. And Dez is kind of out there thinking he's worth, maybe not the 15 or 16 he was going to get in Dallas, but he probably thought he could get 3 for 30. I thought he could get 10 a year. But there were, I guess, no big jobs left. And so Dez, the fact that he didn't take any offer, and I know several people have at least said Baltimore offered him 3 years, and I don't even know what the money was. Mm-hmm. But he didn't like it. I think whether it's Baltimore or wherever, I think Dez needed to sign someplace quick and not worry about the money and maybe just make it, hey, just give me a one-year deal, a couple million. But he's the type of guy that has to have some chemistry with his quarterback. He was a different guy with Romo than he was with Dak Prescott. And I just don't think his strategy, which appears to be to wait for somebody to get hurt in training camp and then just show up there in mid-August and expect to have a good season, I think that's exactly the opposite of what he should be doing. So I think he's getting some really bad advice now.
What do you think, Bob Sturm, legend in Dallas on the ticket? Do you think, just the thought of Romo there for a second got me. What did you think of him overall, like when it was all said and done as a quarterback, when you watched him play? Like, did you ever think he was that good? And then are you surprised that he became this broadcasting star overnight?
No, the broadcast part is interesting because I didn't think he'd be unbelievable there. And obviously he's been very good. And the fact that, kind of like Troy Aikman, throughout his career, we didn't know he had this in him. I mean, when Troy was a player, nobody thought he could broadcast. And then he turned out to be really solid in the booth. And Romo to take off in year one was really interesting. But as a quarterback, and I don't know, actually, I do probably know how this is perceived nationally, but I've always thought he's kind of the polar opposite of Eli. And the polar opposite of Eli is a guy who is consistently excellent, but doesn't have those Super Bowl runs. And why doesn't he have those Super Bowl runs? Does that mean he was not, a top-tier quarterback? Or does it mean, his general manager and his coach never put a good team around him, or at least a good enough team? And, some of that's on him. But I thought overall, on a week-to-week basis, he was excellent. He was a top-10 quarterback for much of his career. I don't know that I would ever say he was top-5, but maybe 2014 he was top-5, but throughout his career he was an excellent kind of fringe Pro Bowl quarterback who just never had a run. And meanwhile, Eli, you know, up there in New York, he's kind of mediocre during the regular season for most of his career. And then he goes on 2 4-week runs, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So that's the finicky hand of fate for a quarterback. I think Romo, week to week, is a better quarterback, but it won't matter. He's not going to the Hall of Fame, and Eli Manning is.
So do you think so Dak now, how do you like him? And do you think they can run, you know, with all the wolves in the East this year?
Well, you know, it's complicated to say the least, because this is a league and this is a division where, you know, July every year we think we know, and then we clearly don't, and somebody comes out of nowhere like the Eagles last year. So we should start there. All these teams kind of look like competitive teams: Washington, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Eagles. And somebody's going to get hot. And, you know, usually the NFC East doesn't really factor in too much in the Super Bowl. And that's what was weird last year about the Eagles with Nick Foles, for crying out loud, which right. makes no sense to anybody. But, you know, can Dak do it? That's a great question, because his first 24 games of his career as a starter, Scotty, he was as solid as any rookie and second-year quarterback in the history of the sport. And I mean that. There are statistics that back it up. It's crazy. But the last 8 games, which – probably not coincidentally coincided with Zeke being suspended and Tyron Smith, the all-world left tackle, being out, he collapsed. And I thought he collapsed partly because the offense, the scheme, the coaches probably needed to be fired after that ridiculous November where they played 3 games and scored 22 points total, which was absurd. He lost his confidence. He was sacked 8 times in Atlanta and was probably concussed the next couple games he was playing. So he looked horrible in November, kind of got his footing back a little bit in December, but now the question for everybody is, which Dak is the real Dak, the one we saw the first 24 games or the one we saw for the last 2 months last year? I think he's more of the first guy, but, this year is as pivotal for Dak Prescott as pretty much any player in the NFL, because at this time next year, when we talk, from training camp, he'll either have a $100 million contract, or maybe the Cowboys took a quarterback in April to try to replace him. So it's all going to ride, you know, Jason Garrett's future and Dak Prescott's future is going to ride a ton on 2018.
So do you, 2 more questions. Do you think that Jones, going back to him, that he's right about the anthem and Trump, or do you think everybody thinks he's nuts?
Well, I mean, I guess I would have to ask you what you mean by right about. I mean, he pretty much agrees with Trump. He just doesn't want Trump saying anything, right?
Yeah, he wants him to stay out of it.
It sounds like if anybody tried to demonstrate on the Cowboys, Jerry would fight them. So, that's, you know, it's not that he really disagrees with Trump. He wants everyone with their toes on the line and their hands on their hearts. So it's difficult to say, other than, hey, Mr. President, please stay out of this. It's not your league. Other than that, I kind of think him and Trump are on the same side of this particular issue, which is kind of problematic if any of his players feel strongly about the social issues being raised. But, you know, Jerry's going to be Jerry, and part of that means he doesn't really want anyone above him in the food chain telling him what to do, whether that's Goodell or, yes, the President of the United States, I suppose.
Okay, so this is the only question that matters. We are just, I am, Mafia is as well. We are huge Peaky Blinders fans.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you have also got the Sons of Anarchy image rocking on your Twitter pictures. Very impressive. 2 of our favorite shows of all time, the Sons of Anarchy and the Peaky Blinders. What was the guy's name? Arthur? Is that the guy's name that was the troublemaker brother of his?
Arthur's the older brother.
Right, absolutely. So he's fantastic, just doing blow in public everywhere he goes and just beating people up senseless with, like, haymakers. But those are your – obviously, those are 2 of my favorite shows. Must be yours, too. And are you going to continue to watch Peaky Blinders when they make 3 more seasons, I heard? And then will you start watching the Mayans in September?
Of course, absolutely. If there's one thing that keeps us going, it's reasonably testosterone-filled TV shows that offer us, you know,
violence,
heroes that may not always be good dudes, but they can win a fist fight. So whether if the Suns are going to give us the Mayans, and if Tommy if Tommy and the gang is going to keep going and Peaky, bring it on. And heck, I'm even going through Breaking Bad again.
Really?
Feed me the television.
Do you watch Animal Kingdom?
What's that?
Do you watch Animal Kingdom?
Never tried it. Do I need
That's,
to?
Yes, a major mistake. Is that on? I think it is on demand. TNT On Demand, you got to watch it. Great. I think it's the third season, but it's okay. Just fantastic, bro. You'll love it. Trust me, if you like Peaky and Sons, this is automatic, like money. You'll love it. Bob, always a pleasure, man. I always love having you on the bench. Say hi to everybody at The Ticket in Dallas. Keep doing your thing. Congrats on all your success, as always. Always rooting for you, bro.
Thank you, Scotty. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, my man.
There he is, Bob Sturm of Bad Radio on The Ticket in Dallas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.